Mishnah Yom is for Wednesday, the 8th day of El, Tavshin Pei Dalet, Masechta Bava Kamma, Perek Tashi'i, Mishnah Yud Beis. Nosan Esakesef, a person stole from a ger, and the ger died without any children, and now he comes and he gives it La'anshe Mishmar. And he gave the money to that's the principal and the fifth, because we're talking about a person who swore that he didn't steal it. Then he admitted guilt. The ger has died, so he now gives it la'anshe mishmar. We gave the money to the men of the Kohanim who were serving that particular week in the Beis HaMikdash, that mishmar. And then v'meis, then the gazlan died before he brought the korban to offer it. Ein ha'yorshim yecholen hoitz miyodim. The Yorshim, the heirs of the Gazlan, cannot come to the Kohanim and say, we want the money back. Our father didn't bring a korban, we want the money back. Our father died. How do you know that? Shenemar ish asher yitain la koyen lo yihiyah. What a man gives to the Kohen shall be his. The Gemara explains from that Mishnah we learn that money actually does a bit of the kapara. That the payment of the money actually atones and effects a bit of atonement. And therefore the Gazlan, while he was alive and gave the money to the Kohanim, he did benefit from having a kapara from that money. Yes, it didn't have the full kapara because he needed to bring the korban, but it did accomplish something, and therefore the Yorshim have no right to take it away from the Kohanim, even though their father died and didn't bring the korban. Nosan hakesef li yehoirev. What happens if the Gazlan gave the money, this money that he stole from a ger who died without children, and he gave the money to a mishmar called Yehoirav. Now the mishmar Yehoirav was the first mishmar of the Kohanim. Each group of Kohanim had a separate name, and then the Osham he gave the korban to the next mishmar that was in charge, serving in the Beis HaMikdash, Liyadaya, that was the second mishmar, Yotza. So the Mishnah, no problem. He's fulfilled his duty, he gets his kapara, he gave the money before the korban, fine. It was a different mishmar that got the korban, then I got the money, also fine. But, says the Mishnah further, if he gave Osham Liyahayarov, if he gave the korban to the first mishmar, v'chesav liyadaya, and he gave the money afterwards to the second mishmar, then it depends. Im kayim asham, if the korban he gave to the first mishmar is still there, they didn't offer it yet before he gave the money. Okay, yakirvuhu b'nei yadaya. So we say, bring the korban to yadaya, to the second mishmar, let them offer it. So now the second mishmar will have both the money and the asham. That's if the korban is still alive; it hasn't even offered yet. V'im loy, but if not, if the asham is not there anymore because the bnei yayar of the people, the first mishmar had already offered the korban before the gazlan paid the money to the second mishmar, yachzer yovei asham acher, he will have to bring another korban. He was not yotzer with the asham that he gave to the first mishmar. Why? Why does he have to bring another asham? Why isn't he yotzer with the first mishmar's korban? Shahamevi gezei loy ad sheyloy hevi asham yotzer. If a person gives the kohen of the money that he stole from the ger before he brings the korban asham, he has fulfilled his duty. He gets his kapara yotzer. But the other way around, hevi asham, if he brought the asham, the korban, before he brought his gezela, he gave the money, liyotza. He's not yotza. We learn this from the pasuk that Gemara brings when it talks about the returning the money and the korban to the kohenim when the ger died. It says ha'osham hamushav lashem lakohen, the osham that's returned to Hashem is given to the kohen. Milvad el hakipurim ashecha bevlav, in addition to the kipurim asher yechaper, that he will atone. And that plural, that future expression, asher yechaper, that he will be effect atonement, that korban, tells us that at the time that he returns the osham, the gezela, he had not yet had a kapara. You must, the Torah insists, give the money first. Then you can bring the korban. Nosan is a kohen. What happens if the gazan paid the principal amount to the kohenim? Now remember, he has to pay both. He has to pay principal and a fifth because he swore falsely and then he admitted his error, his sin. But and he paid the kohen, he paid the principal. But he hadn't yet paid the additional fifth. And now he comes to offer the korban osham in the meantime before he's paid the chomesh. Ein chomesh ma'akev, says the Mishnah, that'll be okay. The chomesh, the fact that he hasn't yet given the chomesh will not prevent the korban being brought. The korban can still be brought and it'll give a kapara. But he remains, of course, with an obligation, a liability. He still, of course, has to pay the chomesh afterwards. But the korban is all right, as long as he's paid the keren first, as long as he paid at least the principal first. Perek Asiri, Mishnah Aleph. We deal here with a gazlan who gave his children to eat. He fed them from what he had stolen. Or he died and they had a Yerusha and they ate from the Yerusha. Are the children obligated to pay back? Says the Mishnah, Hagozel umachil esbonov, person who steals and gave his children to eat from the gzela. V'hiniach lifnayim, or he put the gzela in front of them. They didn't eat it, but they ate it after he passed away. Since the gzela is not here anymore, the actual item is not here, it's been consumed. Peturin milashalim, the children that inherit their parents, their father, the gazlan, are not obliged to repay. They don't have to pay it. They didn't steal it. For them, it's just a debt that their father owed. And there's a halacha, at least in the times of the Mishnah, the Gemara, that metaltalim, that chattels that are left for the orphans, for the yesomim, do not get mortgaged for a debt. Cannot be taken in payment of a debt of their father. V'imhoyo dover sh'yesh b'achrayas. If, however, it was something, their father left them some property, some assets, which can be used as security, such as land, then even though they've already consumed the gzela, they've consumed the stolen goods, chayav nasham, then they are obligated to pay. Why? Because the property that they inherited from their father already had a mortgage, had a lien on it in the lifetime of their father, and that doesn't get removed by the death of their father. That still stays there. The Gemara explains that in our Mishnah we're talking about a case where the Yorshim had consumed the stolen goods after the owners, the original owner from which it was stolen, had given up hope of ever finding it again. If, however, they ate it and consumed it before the owners had given up hope, then the children, the orphans, have to pay even from metaltalin, even from the chattels. This is, of course, assuming that they've consumed, the gazelle is not here anymore. If, however, the items are still here, they've got whatever it was, their father stole crates of biscuits or whatever it was. If the article is still there, then even if the owner has given up hope of finding it, they have to give it back. Any time it's there, it's intact, give it back. Now, what would happen if the gazlan, instead of passing it on as inheritance, had actually sold the goods? And the owners gave up hope. The buyer would not have to give back the goods. Might have to pay, but doesn't have to give back the goods because he would be koinet with what's called yush and shini rashus. The owner give up hope and there's a transfer of property. There's a transfer of ownership. So why is it different here? Isn't there a transfer of ownership from the father to the children and there's yush of the owners? The answer is no. The Gemara explains the Yorshim still have to give it back because the Rishus of a Yorish, the passing of inheritance from father to son, is not considered a transfer of ownership as in the case of a Lekeach, as a buyer. And therefore, all there is Yush, if the owners have just given up hope, Yush alone without Shini Rishus, without a transfer of ownership, will not acquire the Gzela. Now, this is in the way we have it in the Mishnah. However, after the Gemara, the Rambam brings down that post the Gemara era, there was a takana made by the Geonim that a creditor can collect from even the chattels of orphans of Yorshim, even with an oral law, even a milvah al peh. The Yorshim would have to pay regardless of whether they've consumed or not consumed the goods, whether the owners gave up hope or didn't give up hope. This was a special takana made that the creditors can collect from even metaltalin that they found from chattels that their father left them. In Puritin, we do not get change. Lo mitavas hamochsin, not from the box or from the money drawer of mochsin, of tax collectors or customs collectors, v'lo mikishvil gaboin, nor from those who collect taxes, the tax collectors, from their purse. And the reason is because these people, these tax collectors and customs officers that we're talking about here in our Mishnah, are ones that are self-appointed, or even if they're not self-appointed, they cheat. They take more than what the government has asked them to take. We're talking about corrupt people here, and therefore most of the money that we assume is all stolen money or taken money illegally. So therefore the Chachamim said, we don't want to have any benefit from what they've stolen. No, don't ask for change from them. We also don't ask and don't take stocker from them. On the contrary, by taking stocker from them, if they offer to give it, it may give them make their conscience feel better. Look, we're giving tzedakah. Maybe that'll be an atonement for what we've stole. Can't do that. This is all talking about corrupt officers. If, however, it's legally collected under the government, and the government appointed them, and they're doing exactly what is in their capacity, what is in their authority to do, 20% or 30% or whatever it is that the government asks them to take for taxes, then of course, then they're not considered gazlonim, and of course they can you take their money for exchanging, etc. Continues the Mishnah, Avol noitalo, one is allowed to take tzedakah mitoch beisai, from the house of these corrupt tax collectors, because their money, their private money, would not be stolen. That would be from their other affairs. What they go around collecting in their customs boxes or their tax boxes, that's different. Oy min hashuk, or if they have money in the market. And the reason for this is that whatever the moiches, whatever these tax collectors or these corrupt officers would take in their collections, they would be too frightened to put it anywhere else other than their official collection boxes. Because if they were caught by the government by sneaking and taking some of their tax collections, putting it in the market with their other business operations, they'd be in big trouble. So you can assume that what you take from the market from them or from their private house, that's not going to be money that's from their takings that they've taken illegally. What's also interesting is the Gemara mentions that if the person had to give prutos, had to give some change to the tax collector for, let's say, half a dinner, and he doesn't have small change, and if he doesn't ask for change back, he's just going to give a full dinner instead. So in that case, we say, yes, you're allowed to take it, ask for the change, because otherwise you'll just lose. You'll be paying double to these corrupt officers, and that's certainly not what he wants to do. It's what we call matzil miyada. You're saving from these hands.